This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, when we're thinking about local food, there's little that gets more local than local honey, which is, of course, made by honeybees from the nectar and pollen from flowers all around us, in our gardens and our parks, hedgerows, and, of course, from our other food crops. And so beekeepers have a unique connection with nature, and the honey that bees produce can also uniquely reflect our local environment. I spoke to passionate Hertfordshire beekeeper, Basha, of Amber Bees. Now, before we hear from her, a few terms I'd not heard before. Propolis is apparently a sticky resinous mixture made by bees to seal and protect their hives. And bee bread, that's a nutrient-dense fermented mixture of flower pollen, honey and nectar, and bee digestive enzymes. So, back to Basha. I started by asking her where her passion for bees had started.
I remember I was probably about 4 years old, and I imagine myself that one day when I'm much bigger, when you're 4 years old, then it's difficult to see yourself really as a big person. So I saw myself as an adult, but very small person. And I saw myself as a beekeeper. I knew since I was very little that I wanted to be a beekeeper. And I imagined that I would be walking around beehives in a garden with flowers. I think I just loved bees since I was very little. And I loved natural honey. I was raised in the countryside, so probably that helped a lot. Also, my godmother was a beekeeper. So maybe I saw her working. I don't remember exactly that, but I believe there was some family influence as well.
Wow. So that really was a calling from an extremely early age, wasn't it? That's amazing. So you've got your business, Amber Bees, now, and you sell honey and other bee products. Can you tell us about the honeybees that are working for you, as it were? Where are they? What sort of location-wise, and who's looking after them?
So I started my little hobby, as I call it, before it started being a business, about 6 years ago, because I couldn't find any local honey that time. I mean, there was some local honey locally, but very seasonally. So basically, if beekeepers had honey in the summer, but when it was sold, and then in the winter it was very difficult to buy. And I remember one day I thought, do you know what? It shouldn't be that difficult. I would really love to have my own honeybees, but I had something in my mind that maybe one day when I retire, I will have a beehive. But that retirement came much, much earlier. So I left my corporate job and I did beekeeping course. And my beekeeping association gave me swarm of bees the same year. I wasn't really prepared for that, but this is how everything started. And a year later, my husband joined me. And funnily enough, he is from a beekeeping family because his grandmother always kept bees and his uncle still keep bees back in Poland. So he had, I think, innate knowledge about the bees. And we started together about 2020 during the COVID time. And we started growing it a little bit bigger because there was such a huge demand for raw honey. Exactly the same reason other people had as I had originally. People wanted to have proper raw honey locally. And it started growing from year to year with one beehive, then three, then five, and then suddenly it was 15 and then even more. And now is the number that I never know. I ask my husband and the number changes depending whether we are we have good swarms or we are collecting swarms. We have got bees now in four different locations, two in Hertford and two outside Hertford, in a village called Little Haddam and another very small village called Wood End.
So, as you say, you've got a growing army of bees working for you there, and they're all under your careful care. So what do you think you get from beekeeping, other than just honey, I suppose?
Definitely loads of satisfaction, because when you have got any type of animal that you work with, and the bees are actually classified as livestock, so you need to look after them, and they really do have characters. Every family can be different from one another. You have got sometimes very, very calm, docile, sometimes a little bit, maybe more, not aggressive, but, you know, more hardworking, and you have to be really, really more careful around them. And apparently those traits are dependent on the genetic material from the queen. But working with them is a huge satisfaction, because it is very grounding. It is like mindfulness. When you go to the apiary, when you open a beehive, the scent, it's very therapeutic. There's something about the vibration from the beehive that calms the nervous system immediately. The scent from the propolis is healing, because propolis is antimicrobial for the bees, and for us is great for our immune system and our respiratory system. Obviously, honey and other bee products like bee pollen, bee bread, propolis have medicinal properties. So apart from, you know, having just honey, it's working with them that is so grounding and satisfying. And also when we sell honey on the market, it's another thing. When I see this happiness on people's faces, when they can taste something so close to nature, so raw, so beautiful, beautifully made by the bees, because we do not make honey. This is what happens inside of the beehives. We only collect, you know, the excess of the honey that bees need. And seeing, you know, this happiness on people's faces, or surprise when they taste honey from different location, because we keep flavors from different locations and seasonally, completely separately, because that is a signature of the place when the honey comes from.
So why do those honeys taste different?
I would say it's a signature of the place. If you think about one place will have access to certain flowers, like in Little Haddam, we keep bees in apple orchard. So in spring, the taste of honey, but also consistency, is influenced by the nectar and pollen from the apple trees and nearby orchard with cherries. Then if you go now more towards Hartford, one place is more central than other, so it will be more urban honey. So everything what people grow in their own gardens and allotments. And another place in Hartford, on the edge of Hartford, it will be more woodland honey, because there will be loads of hawthorn, blackthorn, field maple in the spring, and then lime flowers in the summer, and maybe some acacia if we're lucky with weather like this year. And those flowers will obviously give specific nectar. And if those specific trees or bushes or plants do not grow in another area, obviously we will expect different type of honey.
Wow. So different locations have honey that is flavoured differently, but of course it's different at different time of years as well. So
that's right.
All sorts of different subtle variations and all that wonderful mixture of flowers that you were just telling us about. It does sound like beekeeping is more complicated than we might think, actually. It's not just a matter of popping some bees in a box and waiting for the honey.
No, definitely it's not. And the reason I'm laughing is I always knew that beekeeping is quite hard work, because maybe because I saw it as a child. It's not only sweet and sticky job, it's actually really hard, heavy lifting, because boxes can be quite heavy. The way we keep it in this country, we putting boxes on top of the boxes, and those can be really heavy. So you really need to have a bit of muscle. But another thing is actually bee management. You need to know what the bees need. Their need is really important. It's not about us just taking honey. You need to plan whole year in advance. You need to plan overwintering, making sure they're healthy, checking them, checking for their health, checking if the queen is there, happy and laying. So weekly checking is important. Swarm management is really important as well, because you don't want bees swarm and make nuisance to your neighbors. Swarm management is really important, because at the same time, this is their natural behavior. Also, you cannot really go on holiday during the honey beekeeping season, because you need to look after them. And in a prolonged period of either drought or rain, you also need to have measures that bees are staying there healthy and not hungry. And then end of the summer, it will be fighting wasps and hornets. So there's a lot of things you need to think about, but also you always have to be ahead of the game. Planning, thinking what the weather is going to be, not taking too much honey away because it's their food, and also making sure that they are surviving healthily until next year. Because beekeeping is not cheap business. Investment is not only monetary, it's not only money, but also time and effort.
Yes. Yes, and I can hear you have quite a connection with your bees. You care about how they're doing and how well they are, as you would do if it was any other animal in your care. So how have your bees been doing in the hot, dry weather we've had this year?
So bees are actually quite clever and they're very adaptable, because if you think about, bees can survive in very hot climates in Africa or Mediterranean. So they have got this amazing system. They can adapt to very hot weather and very cold weather because they can change the temperature in the beehive. So in the summer, for example, they use quite a lot of fanning with their wings to cool it down. So it's not a problem for them to change the temperature of the beehive. However, the problem is with the food source. If you think about prolonged dry weather, everything is drying out. All the flowers is shriveling and drying out, and that is the problem. So here, that very, very careful management, not taking honey too early, leaving them, because they eat quite a lot of honey themselves. This is their main source of food. But also, if possible, if we could help them by leaving corner of the garden completely left to nature with, you know, some flowers that are flowering most of the year, things that we call weed, like, for example, dandelion. It's not really weed, it's a herbal medicinal plant, but it's amazing source of nectar for the bees. And in a hot weather, there's also another really important thing. Bees also need water. And if they have got access to water, it will be also a good idea that they can land safely. So I always tell people, or when I educate at school, you can take a shallow dish and put some pebbles and then put some water in there. So bees can land on a pebble and they can drink, you know, that moisture. And this is a very easy way to help bees, not only honeybees, but also bumblebees and other pollinators in your garden, or even butterflies. And if you find a bee that needs reviving, very simple solution of plain sugar and water, it should help them just to give that a little bit of that.
How do you give them the sugar and water? Do you use a teaspoon, or what would your technique be?
Yeah, I would have it on a teaspoon, probably a couple of droplets of water with a tiny bit of sugar, and then just putting it next to the bee, maybe gently nudging, depending. But bee very quickly will find, you know, that source and will drink happily with the proboscis. It's like kind of tube. It's really nice to see that. And in a couple of minutes, it's revived and then fly away.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's a good tip, because, as you say, a lot of bees are struggling in this weather. And it's good also that anything that happens to help honeybees, it's going to be helping, as you say, wild bees, butterflies, all of the pollinators as well. So that is marvellous to hear. So you obviously sell very local honey to people in Hertfordshire. Why do you think we should buy local honey, honey that just comes from right where we are?
There are a couple of reasons for that. One is that local honey is good for you. Some of my beekeeping colleagues say it's old wives' tales, but actually is not, because there is quite a lot of research about local pollen and the immune system, the mast cells that produce histamine. They react really well to local pollen, and having local honey before the hay fever season starts can help the immune system fight the local pollens. There is also another thing. When you buy honey locally, you actually support the bees, because who look after the bees? Beekeepers. And they, when they sell honey, they are able to either look after bigger amount of bees, or they are able to educate like we do, or they're able, you, maybe to give something in exchange. Like this year, I gave quite a lot of sachets with seeds to put in the garden. And then later in the year, I was giving away plants like sage plants or other plants that are herbal, but at the same time, when they flower, they're great for pollinators. And that also comes, you know, from the cells of the honey. I'm able to do that. But also when you think about supporting bees, supporting environment starts locally, because if we do not look after our pollinators and if you buy honey that comes from abroad, if something happens to our bees, those countries will not send their bees to pollinate our crops. And bees do not have passports, right? So we need to really, really start looking after our environment as close to home.
Yes, indeed. So if somebody was thinking, well, I'd quite like to become a beekeeper, just quickly, where would you suggest they started?
Probably the best is to find the closest beekeeping association and ask them about beekeeping courses. And that is the entry level.
Okay, excellent. That sounds like a very good tip. And we, of course, have plenty of beekeeping associations here in Hertfordshire. And where can we buy your wonderful honey and other bee products?
So we sell our honey on local markets. So we have got first Sunday of the month in Hertford. There is a produce market in Beam organized by Makers and Bakers. We also have farmers market in Tudor Square in Ware, third Sunday of the month. And end of the month, we are in Little Haddam farmers market. But also we attend local fairs and different fairs, Christmas fairs as well, almost every weekend. The easiest thing to find where we are is to follow us on Instagram, because I usually post ahead where we are going to be next. Our Instagram page is amberbees.hearts, or you can find us on Facebook also as amberbees.
And of course, when we buy from you at one of these events, we get the chance to chat to you and talk about the provenance of the honey or the product that we're buying from as well. There's not many products we can do that with, is it? So that sounds brilliant. Basha, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
Thank you for inviting me.
I was talking there to Basha from Amber Bees, and I'll put a link to the Hertfordshire Beekeeping Association into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.